At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. Lost in the radio labyrinth, and we gotta rock it like we're still young kids. Laughing at the world, but jokes never fade, never fade away. And at the radio labyrinth, we'll never be slain.
Hi everyone, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 9, episode 3. I already got 3 in the can. I can take is 6, but right off the top. We're not going to talk about that. It was a different time. I was experimental, and that's just the way things go. Hey, we want to say thank you to our Patreon members. So if you would like to be a Patreon member and find out what all the benefits are, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews, where you can like. Or you can like, rate, and review us on Spotify. Like I said in Trambles, which is my weekly audio-only Monday show that's, 15 to 30 minutes, liking and sharing and telling your friends about us, word of mouth is how shows like us succeed in a world where there's 8 million podcasts. And as always, remember to subscribe on YouTube and like those videos as well and comment on them. If you come in at the $25 level, you can be a Radio Labyrinth producer, right? That's $25 a month. And for that, you get a credit on the show. That's, when you're actually making this show happen. You also get a t-shirt from our t-shirt store and a doodle from Tim. That's me. You can have one that I've already done, or I'll do a custom one for you. Speaking of the Patreon show that we do every week, any level, so you can do $1 a month or as much as you want. You can leave comments underneath those shows. And I want to read one now from our friend Brian Jackson, who wrote, "Please don't let the Cowgirls or the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl." Cowgirls are not going to be in the Super Bowl. The coverage of Jerry the Crypt Keeper, and this is why I want to bring it up. He has a nice little nickname for Taylor Swift. "Hey, Dolph Swift." That will be too much, he said. Taydolph Swiftler. That's pretty nice. So thank you to our executive producers, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Perry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, and Matt Carter. No AI video with Wally Blanco this week. And I'll just be honest, the last one I made, I put on Reddit, and they've been really cool about it. With letting me post them on the Breaking Bad memes. But for some reason, the last one I did, they said, "No shit, post it." And they took it down and I got pissed. And then I made a real angry one. And I thought, that there's no place for a real angry one right here in this segment. So then I just decided, I'm going to make the commercial for Atlanta Pizza in Euro and LDI repro printing using AI voices and images. So that'll be coming up later in the show. And it's a lot of fun and probably more entertaining than me going, "Ooh." But anyway, Dustin, tell us about the merch store real quick.
Radio Labyrinth podcast merch store. Now you can wear your love for your favorite podcast with pride. Find comfy t-shirts that scream, "I'm a podcast fanatic," and listen to these crazy people. Use code RLP123 at checkout. That gets you 10% off your entire order. And I'm just going to keep that running for now. So get those orders in.
Talked about Taylor Swift. I doubt she's going to go to Buffalo. I wonder if she's going to go to Buffalo to root on her man. And if the Chiefs do not win against the Buffalo Bills this weekend, I wonder how long they'll stay together. Because the rumors are they're going to get engaged, but I don't know. I don't know that I buy it. I don't know that I buy it. We'll have.
I said the same thing. If he wasn't winning right now, like if he was on, like the Arizona Cardinals. Would this still be going on?
No.
No, no.
Did his brother retire or he hasn't said yet?
Yeah, he's retired.
He said he was going to. Yeah.
Yeah, you see the look on his face through that game? He's like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I saw him crying in the tunnel on the way out.
No, my last game. This. Yep, it looked like shit. And he's great. He's one of the best centers, at least of the modern era. A lot of teams don't have a good center, like the Steelers. So, yeah, that's the way it is. But the thing that, you know, it's rubbing me raw this week.
What really pisses me off? Where are you going? Where are you going? Okay, come on back. Come on back.
All right, so I didn't watch the Emmys. I don't think anybody did. Jeff, did you?
Yeah, I flipped back and forth between the game and the Emmys.
Let me just tell you this. I have some statistics. Do you guys mind some statistics?
Sure.
Thanks. All right. So the television show Barry has won 6 Emmys total out of 30 nominations. This season, they didn't win shit. And it was probably the best season. Better Call Saul was nominated 53 times. And guess how many Emmys Better Call Saul has won? 0. Now, Breaking Bad had 58 nominations. They won 16. 4 times for best drama, 4 times for lead actor, 3 times for best supporting actor in a drama, 2 times for best actress, and 3 times for best writing. And I argue that Better Call Saul is a better show and has better acting and better writing. It's a completely different show. But I think that the Emmys love to fillet HBO. Succession was good. But haven't they already won a bunch of Emmys? Anyway, Better Call Saul was a better show to me than Succession. Succession's right up there as a great show. But why do you guys think that the Emmys have always snubbed it? Is it because Bob Odenkirk was a comedian? Or why don't they give that show any respect?
Crazy. Maybe he didn't campaign hard enough for it because it's really about this campaigning crap. So I don't see Odenkirk as a campaigner.
No, I don't think he cares, but I definitely think Rhea deserved an Emmy and should have gotten one for sure.
Everybody on that show deserved one, but there was just other shit that they wanted to give the same Emmys to year after year after year.
Michael McKean. So
yeah, he should have got one.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with how many interviews they give and how much stuff they do and just how much access they allow these people into their lives for a solid 2 months on the run-up to the show.
Right.
Whether they want to admit it or not, I do believe that's what helps determine it, because that's how they keep people to do it every year.
Yeah.
And they had to give Succession all those Emmys because Karen Culkin beat the shit out of Pedro Pascal.
Yep.
You think they would have given, I don't know, they give pity Emmys, it seems like, to everybody, but like Odenkirk coming out of his heart attack to make this last season. I mean, it was just all of that was right there in front of them. They just didn't bother to use it.
Yeah, it's just really, really annoying.
Well, Better Call Saul is, as much as we love it, you have to admit, it's not nearly as popular as Breaking Bad.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's a different kind of show. So, I mean, Breaking Bad had a lot more intense drama, stuff like that. That was, I think, more of a mass appeal. I think it's a different type of audience that loves the comedy drama.
Yeah.
You're right. And then as far as comedy series goes, I've never watched Abbott Elementary, but I'm sure that it's probably the funniest show that's ever been created, because all it does is Emmy. They should have just called it, like, Give Us the Emmy.
The Bear should not have been in the comedy category, I don't think.
That too. The Bear's so good, but why is it a comedy?
Yeah.
It's a drama. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I think it's the only way it would have won anything.
But right.
At the rate that they were going, you know, they wouldn't have won in the drama category.
There's too many shows. There's too many networks. There's way too many shows. You got to have to. You just do 2 Emmys a year. You know, you get Emmy A and Emmy B. And then everybody can get a chance to win. Because I believe in
that. I think they should do Emmys. I like your idea. But what if we did, you did the the Gen Pop Emmys. And then you do the Alt Emmys.
That's okay. The People's Choice Awards.
No, yeah, but nobody gives a crap about that. This is where you still get to win an Emmy. I mean, nobody cares if you won a People's Choice Award. You're not going to get any acting jobs on that. Whoop-de-doo.
It's the EGOT.
Right. It's not even in an EGOT.
Elton John got That was awesome. He got his Emmy. Now he's got the EGOT. He wasn't there, but he was very happy that he got it.
Who got the EGOT?
Huh? John.
Oh.
I didn't get an Emmy for being on the podcast that I talked about next with the people who all do all the different sex and stuff, but I didn't get that. Not this time.
You know, the greatest reality show. Every 4 years, there's a new season of this reality show, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. That all kicked off last Monday in Iowa. So we have only 11 months of hell in front of us. You know, my advice is to not look at the news.
Yeah, I unsubscribed.
From all news outlets.
The news.
Yeah.
No more news. I have to live it because of the job I have. I have to pay attention to it. If you're going to follow me on social media, don't look to me for any political talk.
Oh, wow.
I haven't in almost over 2 years, I think. Almost four. Now, probably 2021 is when I completely stopped. Because 2020 was a rough year. Mm-hmm. You know, everything giving me anxiety while I sat out on the carport chain smoking while my wife was pregnant. You know, cleaning the house while she was pregnant. I got to find out about COVID. What's going on with the presidential? What's that, the runoff January 6th? All that's gone. Don't need that shit. I'd rather complain about shows not getting Emmys.
Robert Kennedy convinced you?
I don't think Better Call Saul Emmy. I think Curb Your Enthusiasm should win every Emmy because my wife's on it. Yeah, what else? Dustin and I are the ones who are most on top of this. But we talked about it last week. The Dude C podcast, Chad Kulchin and Will Sasso released an episode where they did reactions to the reactions. That was one of the segments that Doozy programmed. And they talked about Kelly Carlin, and they both agreed that she was right, but they have a philosophical difference, and they're pretty interesting. Did anybody else watch that episode?
No.
Yeah, it seemed like Chad was really defensive. Yeah, he was defensive the way a person who makes something and doesn't have their name on it is defensive.
Yeah.
I need to say, and this has everything to do with this pod show that we've been doing here for damn near 2 years, that's run by our pal D and AI. I learned that AI cannot replace George Carlin, and therefore AI cannot replace myself and my pal Chow. It's a dudesyful day indeed, Chad. I feel great about the future because AI, like I say, is just a fucking tool. We need to keep it under wraps. If AI gets out of control, like I like to say, all you got to do, pour water on it.
They both say and constantly attest that the AI wrote the George Carlin routine after all this data they fed into it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that AI can independently write a script like that with real comedy and setup and jokes. I just don't believe it. And I don't care. I'll buy into the kayfabe. I knew that Hulk Hogan wasn't really fighting Andre the Giant. But I just bought into it. Just like with this, I'll buy into it. Because that's their whole thing, kayfabe. And if you're a pal of Dudesy and you're looking at shit on social media, you get, well, that's kayfabe, dude. Yeah, anyway, nobody gets it. I don't care. Check it out. Talk about something meaningful. Did you guys watch the first episode of True Detective season 4?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Silence I like of the it. Ice Cube.
Yes. That's exactly. I was trying to think of something. Silence of the Ice or something. I don't know. She's really putting on the Clarice voice. I wonder if there'll be any, like, maybe that's Clarice in hiding or something. And
how funny was the beginning, though, when she had to rush to get that Beatles song off?
Mm-hmm.
Not a Beatles fan.
Not a Beatles fan.
But you know why?
No, why?
Because John Hinckley.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
That's why you're supposed to have killed Lennon for her.
Yeah.
Had it playing Imagine. And the Catcher in the Rye book should have been on the shelf. That guy, by the way, is from Decatur.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
I know a guy whose mom went to high school with him or something. And they always said he was a weird loner.
You're talking about John Hawks?
No, I'm talking about Mark David Chapman.
Oh, duh. I said John Hinckley. He's the one who shot Reagan.
John Hinckley. Yeah, Reagan. But, you know, it's the same era. It's an easy mistake to make.
And he did it for somebody else famous, right?
Well, John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan to try to impress Jodie Foster.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Mark David Chapman shot John Lennon because Mark David Chapman was nuts.
Okay. It had nothing to do with Jodie Foster.
No.
Beginning, that's why I got him confused. Never mind.
To do with he thought John Lennon was a phony because he was obsessed with Catcher in the Rye. I've read Catcher in the Rye, and I didn't want to kill John Lennon. Must kill John Lennon. He's already dead. What's that from? South Park. It was Butters. Must kill John Lennon. Butters already dead. Oh, hamburgers. There's a lot to unwrap on this show. It's one of those shows I think I'm going to have to watch recaps of because there's just so much. They've fed you so much. You know, Harry Potter's aunt is in it. She's a weirdo whose son is dead. But given, you know, did you guys see Harry Potter's aunt? I don't know her name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got Jodie Foster. You got Saul Starr from Deadwood. And a whole great cast.
You think they're trying to link it to the first season?
How would that happen?
No, I wouldn't say a cult, but something that's semi-paranormal.
Are they going to make flowers with Jodie Foster?
Flat circles, Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm.
Was it make flowers or make butterflies? Mm, boy, I would love to make flowers with her. Not
well, they just they kind of like did what? So they're kind of making it like this is the ghost of the chick that they found murdered, stabbed all the pieces, because that one of the guys that was one of the scientists there had on her jacket in one of the pictures.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what they're setting it up to be like, I thought, but obviously it's not going to be that. It was kind of like The Thing / 30 Days of Night.
Yeah. I got that a lot, the 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the first season since the original season where the first episode captured me right away, and I'm interested in continuing to watch it. I watched all the other seasons, but it kind of just like didn't really pay attention. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
yeah, that was pretty good.
It doesn't deserve all the season shit it's getting. Oh,
who's giving shit?
It's getting that same, you know, whatever they call it when they bomb.
Yeah, it got review bombed.
Why? Because Jodie Foster said millennials are difficult
probably
to work. I mean, they got all the buttons pushed and all the boxes checked, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was getting bombed. Let me look into that.
I didn't care for the man rape.
So what? Weren't they just making love?
She basically raped that man.
He was into it.
He told her to stop, and she just put her hand over his mouth. Like, shut up.
Well, she didn't really mean stop.
Gonna take it.
True Detective showrunner asks for Rotten Tomatoes votes, citing review bombing. True Detective season 4 Night Country has launched. It's currently critically scored at 92, but fans seem a little less on board after the premiere. I wonder why people are bombing it. What's wrong with it?
I heard a couple people saying that they thought it was slow. And I was like, have you watched seasons 2 and 3?
Yeah.
That was like the first 6 episodes of both those seasons were extremely slow.
The CGI polar bear. If you're like me and you've listened to Bobcat Goldthwait's stand-up quite a bit, the first thing I see whenever I say out loud whenever there's a polar bear on anything, I go, hey, polar bear. I have to go listen. You know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
Yeah.
That old routine where, hey, polar bear. Anyway, all right, Fargo, season, 5?
Yeah.
Just wrapped up.
Yeah.
Thoughts? I loved it. That's my thought.
I loved it.
Yeah, if Jennifer Jason Leigh and Juno Temple don't get Emmys, I'm going to be pissed.
They won't, but
and
they
John
should.
Hamm.
Yeah.
John Hamm is fucking fantastic. He's got enough shit that awards, though.
I felt bad for Gator, but at least he lived. He won't see anything, but that's too bad. I have a question. Did Dot, now the name of this episode was Bisquick, did Dot poison Oli?
No.
That was the speculation.
She broke his curse with the biscuit.
Okay, good. That's fine. Because but people are saying that she poisoned him. But the big smile on his face at the end of the show made me think, well, that's a stupid theory because he's happy. His curse is gone. Now he can age and die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was primed and ready that if he did not take that biscuit, that he was going to catch a fork to the side of his eye head.
Yeah.
She was primed and ready. Either way, it was eat the biscuit or die. It was one of those moments.
I did not expect Wit to die. And that, was
yeah.
Hated that.
Rest in peace, Wit.
Wit was, maybe you should flash a spoiler alert up here.
Yeah, I will.
Wit was one of my favorite side characters on the
yeah.
Because he always had this vulnerability about him, but he was a good guy. There was nothing bad about him. And you thought, okay, he's not going to find Roy. Roy's going to be out on the other side of the tunnel like Gator was. But nope, snuck up behind him and then fucked him up. And that kind of bummed me out. So
I hated that, but it wouldn't be Fargo if somebody who you didn't want to die
yeah.
didn't die. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's what makes it realistic. But I love that actor, too. He was one of my favorite characters on The New Girl.
Lamorne Morris, yeah.
Really fantastic season, and it'll be hard to top if they do
that,
come.
That scene in the prison with John Hamm at the end?
Beautiful. Oh,
awesome.
People have dad.
She handed him that pack of cigarettes. That was great.
Yeah, you're going to need this.
That whole monologue she did about you want freedom and no responsibility?
Yeah.
You know, only one person can get that. And he was like, who, the president? She was like, no, baby.
Yeah.
Just the baby.
Yeah, baby, the president. Yeah. I love how I guess it takes place before 2020. She goes, I need to call the orange idiot and call him. Yeah. So she's obviously a supporter or gave him money or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, but she definitely avenged Danish Graves.
Yeah. Yeah. Did. And she redeemed herself. That hug and okay.
Yeah.
That'd be me. I'd be like, oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Dot. So all in all, great season, Fargo. I liked it better than
best season ever.
Well, you know, my mom is totally like housebound for a few days because it was so cold and there was a ton of snow or whatever. So she stocked up and she hadn't left the house. Well, just a few days ago, she said, I've ran out of shows to watch and blah, blah, blah. And I said, have you ever watched Fargo, the show? And she was like, no, I don't know. And it's never seemed to appeal to me. Well, she used our Hulu account. So I know when she's watching stuff and I know whatever it is. This freak watched both seasons, season one and season two, like in a day and a half. Wow. I think she just watched them straight through. Then she went into three and I told her, don't bother with three. And definitely skip four, because four blue chunks. So she starts on three. She texts me, I don't like three very much. I said, I told you, it's terrible. Go ahead and go to five. Yeah. She went through five. I think she watched episode 1 through 9 of five, like within a matter of like 6 to 7 hours.
Damn. Well, it's a good show. That's smart. What else is she going to do? Right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is how I would spend my retirement.
Me too. That's how my grandmother would watch 6 episodes of Murder, She Wrote in the afternoon. And then she'd have a little dinner and then she'd watch Tim Allen, whatever that show was called. Home Improvement.
Yeah.
TV up so loud, you could hear it in the town next over.
Oh.
All right. Jeff watched Ted on Peacock and his only review is that Shea Whittingham's daughter is hot.
She is.
Is it funny? Yes.
Yeah. It was very funny.
Yeah.
I have that on my list to watch, so I'm going to watch.
You know who Shea Whittingham is, though, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Okay. Of course we know Shea Whittingham.
What's your problem?
Boardwalk, Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Perry Mason. I wish they'd bring that back.
I can't believe they canceled it. Just makes me sick.
That's bullshit.
Makes me sick.
Yeah. Makes me sick. It was such a well-written show, and I really like that actor. And I like the Americans. I thought he was good in that.
News, trailers, and trends with Steph.
So I guess they've thought about possibly doing a spinoff of Succession, and Kieran Culkin is not for it, unless if they made it about Cousin Greg.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. And he said he could do little pop-ins.
Yes. Look, Cousin Greg just stumbling. Is Cousin Greg still working there?
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the last. He was one of the few that were still standing at the end of all that.
Right, because Ted kept him. Greg, I lost my Ted. I was able to do Ted for a while. Hey, what's going on? He won an Emmy, Ted. something.
Yeah, he's in a new show now where he's using his actual real British accent.
Oh, good. So he doesn't have to do the Ted voice?
No. He's back on BritBox or something like that.
Now, is it going to be, if they did a spinoff, would it be a some kind of prequel? Because Brian Cox said he would be interested in doing the spinoff.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why I was like, that went, that time-wise, it would not be where it left off, but somewhere in the middle.
He likes money.
Yeah.
That could be. Or he could play another character.
Yeah. It's better than McDonald's commercials, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, his bank account that. Oh, well, the Salem's Lot movie that's been done and completed since 2021 is not going to the theater, it looks like. It looks like it's going straight to Max.
Why has it been on the shelf so long? Does anyone know?
Well, it was supposed to come out in the spring of 2022. Then they said something about COVID delays, so they weren't going to. Then it was going to be in 2023. Right. And then they were talking about maybe it was just going to be another tax write-off like Batgirl. And in the end, they said that Max, because of the writer's strike, doesn't have enough content.
Mm.
So that's part of what they're doing is putting it on there to beef up the content.
It could be that it sucks.
Yeah.
It could be that.
Now, I wonder if it's set in the era in which it was written or if it's a modern thing.
No, it's set in the 70s.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's set in the 70s?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. The article that I read, it's in the same... Well, it's at least in the same town, Jerusalem, Lot, da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, everything else is pretty much the same. I thought it was set in the 70s, maybe not.
Wonder if Ted Brodigan will have a bigger role than he did in the original movie. He had more of a role in the book than he did in the TV drama with
yeah.
David.
Yeah.
By the way, rest in peace, David Sewell.
Yeah, well, that movie, yes, R.I.P. That movie, as much as it terrified me as a kid and messed me up for a long time with looking out the window at anything in my bedroom. When you watch it now, I mean, it's, I don't know. They would really, to make it frightening, they really need to turn it up.
Hell, the master is not here right now. I'm going to move these antiques around. Yes, I have this gigantic ashtray that it's made out of marble. Let me to move it over here now. Oh, Bonnie Bedelia, you're so beautiful at... You'll be a vampire, but let me first move this table.
That's all he does.
Let me ask you guys, though, seriously, in your entire lives, has there ever been a vampire movie that scared you?
Yes.
That one, the TV
movie. Yeah, that one.
That one when I was a kid.
Okay, and in your current, in your adult life.
The Nosferatu vampire was scary to me. I never saw the movie, though.
Are you talking about the one with Willem Dafoe or the original?
No, the original one. That vampire was like the scariest looking vampire.
Yeah, that is scary. Vampire, but no vampire movies ever scared me.
No.
I mean, I think 30 Days of Night sets the standard as far as if you're going to do a vampire movie and have it be like where you're like, oh crap, oh God, oh crap.
Yeah.
Because it's more like an action horror movie.
That's one of my favorite vampire movies just because of the originality of the story.
I love it so much. I love it so much, Dustin. I swear to God, it's like I can't even, if I turn it on for a minute just to have it on as background, it's it. I'm immediately sucked in. Everything in my hands that I was doing is laying on the coffee table. And I can't not watch it. It's
vicious.
It is vicious.
Yeah.
And every single time, it feels like the first time I watched it, I'm like, oh my God.
Do you turn off the section with the dogs? You skip past it?
Well, they don't show it.
True.
They just show the aftermath. So, but yeah, if they showed it, I don't think I could deal with it. But yeah,
I'm like that with From Dusk Till Dawn. If I'm flipping around and it's on, no matter what point in the movie, and I'm sitting there watching it.
The second half is the best part, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's like two
the
different.
The first
movies.
Half is really good too.
It is funny.
Quentin's half was good, but Rodriguez's last part was a lot better.
Yeah.
He does such a good job with that kind of stuff. Just like Planet Terror was way better than Death Race.
Yeah.
Frick. And like Death Race?
Death Proof.
Death Proof. Yeah, there you go.
I like Death Proof just for...
Dustin, did you watch Thanksgiving?
I watched about 3/4 of it.
Oh, it wasn't good?
It's not that good. I don't like him. I've never liked that director.
Eli Roth?
Yeah. He's one of those people that he's such a dick in person. I couldn't like anything that he produces just because of that. I couldn't get
past watch a lot of those. You can come in. I didn't like a lot of those, that horror documentary show that he produced because he's in it too much.
Yeah.
I think he just goes overboard a little bit with the torture porn. It's a little much for me. Like Green Inferno. Come on, dude.
Well, nobody needed to remake that. I mean, he wants so bad to be Quentin Tarantino, but he's not. Yeah. Like, he's riding his coattails and has since he started in the industry. If it hadn't been for Quentin, you would never know who Eli Roth was.
Oh, a lot of people love his crap.
Yeah.
They love it. So I don't know. I'll tell you what I love is Richard Simmons. And I used to do Sweat Into the Oldies when I was a teenager.
Yay!
It was the best. And I didn't even think about the fact that Pauly Shore looked so much like him, so much so that he is going to star as Simmons in this new biopic.
Yeah, it's a short film, and he's not going to be playing young Richard Simmons. I remember the first time I ever saw Richard Simmons was on General Hospital, where he played the nutritionist at the hospital. Also, on that around that time, you had Dr. Noah Drake, who was played by anybody?
Oh, Rick Springfield.
Yeah, you knew that.
Yeah, I had an affair of the heart for him.
Well, I heard this short film that's already been made had him as Richard Simmons. This is going to be a documentary style film based off of that short film.
Yeah, biopic.
And all right.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Richard Simmons doesn't want this thing. He goes, no, don't do it. It's not nice.
Well, see, he claims that he's no longer, I guess, being manipulated by a manager or a publicist.
Right.
That he himself just does not want this.
Right. Hey, buddy. Time to sweat. Buddy.
Sweating to the weasel.
Sweating to the wheezing to the oldies. That's what people there, that's what Richard Simmons is. He's wheezing to the oldies. I'll watch it. I like Pauly Shore. I have a newfound respect for him now that I've seen him on the...
Ron Harlan.
Well, on other podcasts too. I didn't realize that he was... capable of riffing like that. I've seen him do stand-up before. It wasn't too bad. But
well, according to scientists, they seem to have solved the munchie mystery as to why, after you smoke some ganja or eat or what have you, that you get the munchies.
Because you're hungry, because you smoke pot, and you've always been told your whole life that when you smoke pot, you get the munchie.
Well, of course, but they found the part in your brain, the hypothymus or something like that, is what the marijuana affects.
Okay.
So they feel like they can possibly figure out a way to not just help people eat when they're sick and they don't have an appetite, but possibly reverse it to where they wouldn't eat.
Yeah, I'm not taking a pill every time I smoke.
I don't want to eat.
You have to stock your home when you're a stoner. I would recommend nuts, grapes, anything you can eat with your fingers because it's the mouth thing, the hand to mouth thing. If you have an oil, or a cock. Popcorn is really good. Speaking of popcorn, Steph, I made some of the popcorn the other day. Very delicious.
It was fancy, right?
Very fancy. I made the red popcorn and there wasn't enough. So I put in some of the black popcorn.
Okay, what seasonings did she use?
Butter and salt.
Oh, you didn't use the fancy seasonings that came with it? Why? I thought that was the whole point.
Well, I'm very, I want to say this without being insensitive to other people with real issues, so I'm not going to say what I was thinking. I'm very particular about my popcorn, and my popcorn has to have a good butter to salt ratio. I am anti-microwave popcorn. I don't like it anymore. Everything, it has to be cooked. Now we have canola oil, but I prefer it in, coconut oil because canola oil sort of smells like fish.
Yeah.
But, I just like cooking it that way. I saved the packets though, because, Gilbert and Caitlin both like it, and I'm going to let her have the hot and spicy one because she likes the hot and spicy foods.
Okay. But the popcorn, it was good quality and they were puffy kernels.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Way better than Redenbacher's Franken popcorn.
I like where you were going, though, but try and keep the things in your house to eat, like nuts, low-carb items, where you can eat a lot of them.
Yeah. Tim eats nuts. You heard it here first.
I lick them.
He licks all the salt off the nuts.
You know what my weakness is when it comes to nuts? nuts of color.
You like black nuts?
I love these nuts.
No, the best peanuts out there are those Virginia ones. You know what I'm talking about? Virginia.
Those red ones?
No, those are Spanish style. No, the what are they called? They're the Virginia roasted or whatever. They're very crispy. They're very, very crispy nuts. And they have the cotyledon on them still. And
that's Spanish peanut.
No, Spanish peanuts have skin on them.
I like mine without the skin. You big fat peanut.
Virginia, great big fat person.
Virginia peanuts. I have a brain like a dummy today.
Just now you said Virginia penis.
Well, I like that too.
Get in there nice and deep like.
Yeah, here they are. They're salted Virginia peanuts. Yeah, there's a weird thing they do to them. They don't roast them, so I don't know what it is.
Do they flash fry them or something?
I don't know what they do to them. You know,
they drop them down a coal mine and go down and dig them up.
Virginia peanuts are different from other types of peanuts when it comes to size and taste. They are the largest of all peanuts, and they have a distinctive crunch. They're also very flavorable. Virginia peanuts are often called the ballpark peanut because they're sold hot at baseball games. So anyway, that's it.
Well, my last story here, 25% of CEOs are planning to replace their human workers with AI this year.
That's correct. This is Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum via meeting in Davos. We found a way to make it so the AI could do everything. You could stay home and eat ants, roaches, and spiders, grind them up, make cricket flour so your family has bread. We will still be eating the cows that you're not allowed to eat. Make sure that you have solar heating on your roof, and all we will tax you for it. But in the meantime, AI will do everything for you. Everything.
It's coming. AI is coming, and there's no stopping it. Unless you make a law.
They could, you know, disappear all the CEOs.
Yeah. They could.
Disappear them.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's funny is if it says 5%, now the things they can't get rid of are labor jobs. So this is right. Going to be jobs in accounting or some type of, you know, management of facility. You can't fuck those numbers. So that's what I think's hilarious. They're going to have, you know, an AI won't cook a number if you tell it to.
Right.
It's going to tell you what's there. So I think it's going to be funny. I would like to see how many of these people get caught in their own AI.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there was an example of that in this article, Dustin, because they said after Sports Illustrated got caught using AI to publish their articles, the CEO got canned. So there is a double-edged sword.
We have to make sure that AI is equitable.
When I created AI...
Oh, you know, I tried to remind them that when I invented stummies...
Oh, stummies, yes. Thank God that you did.
When are we going to get the big AI robot in here?
The following advertisement contains celebrity impersonations and is not an endorsement.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
I think it's pronounced Giro, Michael.
Gyro.
Whatever.
Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the winter season with over 40 beers in cans and bottles, and 16 beers on tap, with 12 of those being local Georgia and Southeast craft beers.
Their current featured selection is Jekyll Brewing's Cooter Brown Ale. This brown ale is the perfect wintertime brew with its silky smooth body, sweet caramel and chocolate aroma, and a slight refreshingly bitter finish.
They once again would like to thank all the radios and fans for listening to this podcast. Stop by the restaurant and mention you heard about them on Radio Labyrinth for a free dessert.
By the way, their food truck is on hiatus until late February due to winter weather, but there are always exceptions. And if you want to reserve a specific date, please contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228.
And don't forget, they're open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 9 p.m. on Saturday. They're closed on Sundays.
That's nice.
There's a legend behind Cooter Brown Ale. Cooter Brown supposedly lived on the line, which divided the North and South during the American Civil War, making him eligible for military draft by either side. He had family on both sides of the line, so he did not want to fight in the war. He decided to get drunk and stay drunk for the duration of the war so that he would be seen as useless for military purposes and would not be drafted. Ever since, colloquial and proverbial ratings of drunkenness have been benchmarked against the legendary drinker, as drunk as Cooter Brown or drunker than Cooter Brown. Yeah, we've all been there, boy.
Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Reaper Printing of Athens, in Athens, Georgia. Since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Views.
Or.
Snooze.
News.
Jeff, you want to do some views of snooze and all?
Yeah, last week was Nine Lives of. Chappelle was the first episode. It was pretty good.
Pretty good. I wish I had Vice. I don't have Vice.
Yeah, it's just one of those Vice shows. Very similar to their other shows, like the Dark Side of Comedy and stuff.
They eventually make it to a streaming service. I just don't know which one.
I don't know who streams Vice.
Hulu.
I thought it was Hulu.
Is it Hulu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On to them the next day, right?
And sometimes it depends on the show. They're not like FX, where FX has it on the next day. So it depends on the show.
Okay.
And Self-Reliance, which I haven't watched yet, but I plan to. And After Midnight, which first aired last night. I haven't watched it yet. That was last week. This week, The Kitchen. This is actor Daniel Kaluuya's directorial debut on Netflix in a dystopian future where the gap between the haves and the have-nots has never been wider.
This must be because of AI. The AI. Yeah. This is why.
What is this on, Jeff? What network?
This is on Netflix.
I like this guy.
Okay, yeah. I might watch that because I love him. He's a very good actor.
Yeah, I think so too. Views for me.
Yep.
The Woman in the Wall. This is that new Ruth Wilson show on Showtime. Mm. The trailers look pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
It's a maybe for me.
Oh, this show's coming back?
Yeah, Chad's coming back on Roku channel, the Weird Al movie channel.
Yeah.
It's getting a season 2 on Roku.
That's cool.
I've like seen Pedrad.
Pedrad.
Yeah. Chad was funny. Season 1.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes of it. I don't know why I didn't keep on with it, but I did think it was funny.
Yeah,
it's very dark. Very dark.
You guys to keep on keeping on. Shit. All right. Thank you, Jeff.
It was on TBS originally.
Oh.
Our staff picks this week, or staff picks. I'll start with mine. My staff pick is Dusty Slave Working Man on Netflix. That is already out if you like stand-up comedy. It's not bad. And it's funny. Not bad is not a good way to describe a comedy special. Dusty Slay, the Night Shift Tour, is coming to Atlanta on March 30th at Atlanta Symphony Hall. I'll be speaking with him about that on my show, The Popcast, on WSB Radio soon. And I'll be taking our buddy Jamie Self to the show.
Aw, look, Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie's always dropping off sausage at the house when no one's home out back. And he is a big fan of this guy, and it was just weird. I was interviewing him one time, and I got a text from, hey, do you like Dusty Slay? I said, I just interviewed him. He was like, no way. Yeah, okay, back and forth. And, I'm going to go to the show and take him. I thought it would be cool to take him.
And I saw him back in the Punchline days.
You saw him when he wasn't doing, like, he was touring comic.
Yeah.
Now he's married and has two kids. He does a podcast that's really cool because there's no politics and it's just him talking about life with his family and his friends and stuff. And Jamie sent him that Grateful Dead lyric book, the annotated Dead book, because I guess he heard Jamie say, or he heard Dusty say he never really listened to the Dead. So it's got all the lyrics in it and he posted it on Instagram. So that's my staff pick.
Mine's a Wellington Paranormal podcast. There's maybe 5 or 6 episodes out already.
Oh, is it just episodic?
They're not doing like a rewatch podcast. It's just them talking to each other, which is cool. Fun. and it's O'Leary and Minogue.
Bet it's fun. That's
cool. Yeah, that's a fun show.
Mine is the Two Johns Don't Make a Right podcast. You guys ever listen to this?
No.
No.
It's a comedian, John Daly, and John Schroeder. So the premise of the podcast is they, whatever guests they have, they get in the van, they drive around to LA, and they never make a right. They only make lefts.
That's a cool concept.
Yeah, and they interview them in the van the entire time. And this, the last episode had John Hamm, and they talked to him all about Fargo and his showing his butt and stuff like that.
Do they blow John Hamm and then kick him out of the van?
Yeah. Practically. They practically do, because especially, I believe it's John Daly is just very obsessed with John Hamm's body and the fact that that was his real butt. And the fact that, you know, he's seen him in a pool before and did not realize that he had such a hairy, masculine chest. So there's a lot of talk about that kind of stuff. And John Hamm, oh, God, he could have, if he wasn't so handsome, I really think he would only do comedies. Truly.
Yeah.
Because he's so funny, man. And he's so quick. And, you know, he's friends with all comedians. It's like all of his friends are improv people. And
that's when he did John Hamm's John Hamm on Saturday Night Live, that's when he knew that he had it.
Yeah. So definitely check out Two Johns Don't Make a Right.
Johns.
Don't check that out.
Yeah. It's a fun podcast.
Sorry.
Mine is, you guys may have seen it. It's a movie called Lucy with Scarlett Johansson. It's by Luc Besson. It came out in like 2018.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Okay, yeah, it's, I love Luc Besson movies. All of his movies I really like, and I like his style. And I just completely had missed this one. I didn't realize, I'd seen the on Netflix, I'd seen Lucy, but I never wanted to watch it until I saw he directed it. But yeah, it's about a girl who gets caught up with this gang in Taiwan, and they put drugs inside of her belly to try to make her.
No, cool. I did see that.
Yeah, and when she gets in trouble, it busts open inside of her, and she absorbs all of it, and it's something like some kind of synthetic hormone or something that it's in babies that makes them like activate parts of their brain in the womb.
Yeah.
But as a drug, it started like bringing up like 100% of her brain capacity.
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman's in it. But there's a scene at the end of it where she goes from present day to back in time. And you watch it happen in front of her, and it goes all the way back to the Big Bang. And it's really cool. It's probably like 8 minutes, but man, it's impressive the way it worked out. But yeah, it's on Netflix, called Lucy.
I should watch that.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It was like Limitless, like a female Limitless.
Yeah. 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 Except she didn't take it of her own, you know, of her own.
Right.
Hey, we're going to be bowling again on March 9th at Bowlero in Lilburn, Georgia. Details to be available later, but just mark that date down. We want to thank our good friend Brett Perkins from LDI Repro Printing for that. Check out Trambles every Monday, give or take, here on the audio feed for Radio Labyrinth. If you like audio only podcasts, you can also catch me doing the Popcast on WSB Radio every Saturday night at 7 p.m., followed by a podcast the following day. Check out our buddy Mark Schrankel's cameo, Mark 001. We need to get an update from him because he had some news. I don't know what happened with that.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
I came here to talk to someone about this, get some perspective. Turns out I can just read the fucking YouTube comments.
Oh, hey, listen, we got your comments on YouTube, so thank you for leaving those. From last week's show, Brian Jackson said, the new intro has a great beat, but I still can't dance to it because I'm old. Saving up about battle because I'm old. Leaving this comment so I can hear my name on a podcast because I'm old. And love you guys because you are great. Thank you, Brian. Flash Fuchs, a.k.a. Fuchsy, said, great show. I say Steph loses her shit in March and she'll be back to being a potty mouth. Self-reliance, good, but it has Anna Kendrick in it. When I see her, I just yell, stand up for Crowd's sake. She has the posture of a question mark. Roby says, because I was too late to leave a comment last week, I'm going to leave one before the opening song ends. Brett Perkins says, dude, let's go bowling. And then Roby chimed back in and says, that doesn't sound like Carlin to me. Something in the timbre and the cadence of the voice is off. Of course, he's referring to George Carlin's fake AI special from the Dudesy podcast. And Steph, what's going on with Barkville?
We don't have anything going on right now, or not till February when we do the next Caffeine and Octane. But check out our new website, barkvilledogrescue.org. We had one of our volunteers who is also extremely talented web designer. She made us an entirely new website, and it's super cool looking. So please check out our new website. And while you're there, hit that donate button. Hit that donate button. It feels so good. Just give us your money.
Good.
Throw it at us and the feeling that you'll get. Or volunteer for us. Or save a dog. You know how many dogs are outside freezing to death right now? Because people are garbage. You're not. You would help them. So help us. Yep. Go to barkvilledogrescue.org.
Thank you. Keep it clean. Woof. All right, everybody. Oh, by the way, Gilbert has two stuffed dogs that he has in his bedroom at night when he goes to sleep. One of them's name is Ruff Ruff, and the other one's name is, I believe, Arfie. Arf, Arf. And I only call him Woof Woof because what would you call your dog if you had a dog? Woof Woof. Okay. That's cool. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week and go whatever football team you like.
Go Lions.
Wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10/1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.